Congressman, appreciate the opportunity to connect. Let's talk a little bit about the politics itself. First of all, obviously the margin's very thin, both chambers right now. How do you see that as we move forward, getting important things done, such as the Farm Bill and some of the other matters that we have to get done?
Well, I think first, on our side, the Republican conference has to talk to each other on the front end. They just can't wait till the back end. Secondly, we have to recognize that in order to pass a Farm Bill, we're going to need both Democratic and Republican support. And so I think it's leadership skills are going to be tested. I mean, we have to have conversations and understand what we're doing on both sides moving forward, whether it's the food programs, ag programs, food stamp programs, all of those different issues. We're going to have to be able to communicate and figure out how this all moves forward.
What's your sense? How's that coming together at this point?
Well, I'm really excited. I actually said a lot when we were campaigning, the best part about Republicans winning back the House was the Farm Bill was going to be about farm policy instead of climate policy. We got good people. GT's on there. We waved on Frank Lucas, John Rose, Dusty Johnson, our neighbor to the south, is there. Michelle Fisbach, our neighbor to the east, is there. So we're very well represented in the Midwest states, and those are pragmatic leaders who want to get something done.
Chairman Thompson is talking about wanting to get this done before the current Farm Bill expires at the end of September. Can that timeline be done?
It can. I think it's going to be a heavy lift. It's going to, I mean, the Farm Bill's, you know, the last Farm Bill 5 years ago was probably about as easy a lift as we've seen in modern times on the Farm Bill. The time before that was really problematic, but nobody wants to see short-term extensions, and I think everybody recognizes this is one of the few must-pass bills we have to get done.
What are your priorities going into this discussion?
My priorities are the same as they always are, is crop insurance, supplemental crop insurance, making sure the sugar program's protected, dealing with all of those different issues. And then on a second note, which, we've been so lucky with Senator Hovind and Senator Cramer, but about getting ad hoc disaster relief for, I always tell people what other people call a climate crisis, we call Tuesday in North Dakota. But trying to get some more realistic deadlines put into place that actually accounts for farming and the actual seasonal component of trying to be an ag producer in North Dakota.
You talk about all the ad hoc spending. We've had everything from trade wars to pandemic to the weather challenges that we have in North Dakota. How do you see that being approached? Because obviously from a fiscal perspective, that has to be considered as well.
Absolutely, and I think that is going to be part of the conversation, right? Particularly, you'll have conservatives that want work requirements and some of the non-ag portions of the Farm Bill, and at the same time, if you're dealing in divided government, you're going to have to, have some realistic, I don't think it necessarily has to be dollar for dollar, but offsets on the other side, and we should be happy, and we should have those conversations. But, North Dakota's kind of figured it out. We got the soybean crushing plant in Spiritwood. We got the renewable diesel plant in between Dickinson and South Hart. The best thing we can do for North Dakota ag producers to get them a better price and to deal with that is figure out how to do as much of that in state. We're still going to have to get it to market. We're the geographic center in North America. But there's a lot of things that we've done in North Dakota that could actually show pass forward for this in D.C.
You touched on climate earlier. There's been a very much of a focus on climate issues in the Biden administration. A lot of things have been enacted that you guys haven't had a chance to vote on. It's going to be a part of that Farm Bill discussion. How do you see the environment for that?
Yeah, and not just the Biden administration, not just our EPA, right? We're asking for Congressional Review Act on the WOTUS rule right now. I mean, that's incredibly detrimental to our ag producers. But, Justin Trudeau in Canada banned about a third of the fertilizer. I'm very concerned that the first time since the Industrial Revolution, we are starting to see governments force us to producing less per acre than at any other time since we've started. The world's hungrier now than it's ever been. The war in Ukraine is a big part of this conversation. 35% of the world's wheat comes from there. Anywhere from 12 to 17% of the world's calories. North Dakota's part of this solution as well. And instead of hamstringing our farmers and ranchers, we should let them do what they do best, and that's feed the world.
You mentioned the Congressional Review Act, the vote. You petitioned for that on WOTUS. Explain that to me and our listeners.
Essentially what that is it forces Congress to act on an administrative ruling that has a detrimental economic impact. Dan Newhouse led it last Congress. He's the chair of the Western Caucus. He's going to lead it again. We're going to be on board. North Dakota was a huge part of getting that injunction in 2015, and that injunction still stands. You know, they Trump rolled back the WOTUS rule. He actually had a significantly better piece of regulation. That got thrown out in the courts, and this administration's doubling down. And it's real-world consequences. It's somewhere, I mean, our ag commissioner could tell me the exact number, but it's somewhere between 86 and 94% of North Dakota comes under federal primacy for dry creek beds that I've hunted my whole life that have never had water in them. You can't have a pothole 6 miles away from a Navajo River allowing the federal government to determine what a North Dakota farmer is doing on his land.
So would the upper chamber have to go through a similar action, or how do we?
Yeah, we get it here, and we'll let them. We'll kick it over to them first. I have a feeling if we get the ability to do it, and we work forward on it, House Republicans will be very good at poking holes in the fallacy that the federal government should be in charge of regulating a dry creek bed in Montreal County, North Dakota.
Have you had a lot of feedback on WOTUS from your constituent?
Since 2015, yes. So when I served in the state Senate, it's an existential crisis to North Dakota. You know, we have easement issues and wetland easement issues and wildlife issues and all of this, but WOTUS of the United States is something that every single egg producer, every single cattle rancher is fully aware of, because they know what it means if the federal government is now knocking on their door before they can plant a soybean crop or they can run some cows on their grazing pasture. It's a terrible idea. The federal government has no. I think one of the biggest mistakes that they make out here is they think the difference is federal regulation or no regulation. We're not asking for no regulation. We've never asked for no regulation. But why don't we let an ag-producing state make the determinations on how to regulate the land that we're producing the products the world needs on, and keep the federal government out of it? No offense to most of the people who work in the federal government out here, but their idea of the outdoors is whatever park is next to their apartment.
It does speak to that question of over-regulation. It seems like every meeting we're going to in addition to the farm bill, that seems to be coming up in all of our conversations.
Yeah, and combined with some litigation going on with regularly available herbicides and pesticides. I mean, there's Roundup. I mean, all of these different issues. We have to figure out a way to increase efficiencies because we have to feed more people, and the world's hungrier all the time. But also, more importantly, is we have to make sure our ag producers can make a living doing this. And it's not just essential to the guy who farms next to Oaks, North Dakota. It's incredibly essential to the entire community of Oaks, and it's just a huge part of our way of life, and I think sometimes we forget that. We talk about the national security interest of making sure that we are food secure. We talk about leading the global economy and how we can provide things to the rest of the world, but we don't spend enough time drilling down on what it actually means to be from one of these communities in North Dakota. I mean, if you significantly the CRP program was so fantastic for a lot of people, but at the same time, it consolidated more ag land and less came out of production. And there are a lot of small communities all across the state that hurt from that. And we make these decisions based on different decisions, but I make these decisions based on what it's going to take to keep the Main Street in North Dakota to still have the ability to grow and do that. You know, we've been really lucky with the oil business. And Western North Dakota, which had a lot of communities that were dying 15 years ago, are now thriving. But you scale that across the whole state, and agriculture is the number one. It doesn't matter if you own the gas station or the convenience store or the diner. If you are in central North Dakota in a town under 5,000 people, you're in the ag industry, and we want to make sure and protect it.
When you take a look at farm income at the present time, obviously, by historical standards, very, very strong. But these margins are being stressed by high input costs. I think you mentioned fertilizer.
Diesel fuel.
Yeah, to go through the whole spectrum at this point. Does Congress have a role in helping out in some of those kind of issues?
Well, yes. Free up American energy production. That's also the answer in dealing with these issues. Quit regulating things to death. Make it easier to build a fertilizer plant in North Dakota and not have to go through 9 different EPA permits and then get sued if you put a shovel in the ground and kill an earthworm. There are a lot of things Congress can do, but one of the things we should do is allow states more primacy over doing these types of things. And I think that is really important because, you know, commodities have been pretty good for the last year. But commodity prices always go up and they always go down. When inputs go up, they never go all the way back down. So we have to be conscious of that. And we also have to look forward and we can't have the same fights we've been having for 20 years. We have to recognize where the new fights are coming and engage right now. This climate fight is coming to production agriculture, and it's coming really, really fast. And it's easy to coal's always been the low-hanging fruit. Oil was not very far behind. Natural gas was always supposed to be the bridge fuel, and then they figured out they didn't like the companies that produced it, and they didn't like the places where it was produced, so now we don't like natural gas either. But this fight is coming to production agriculture, and it doesn't matter if it's in the United States, if it's in Canada, or it's in Europe. We have to be ready for this fight, and we have to be ready for it 5 minutes ago.
So how does agriculture respond or be proactive on that?
Well, they've done a great job. I mean, we meet with obviously every group from North Dakota, and not just like the farm commodity groups or any of that, but actual ag producers in our state. And we have to continue to move forward. And there's all kinds of things. Consolidation in the meat packing market. There are all these different issues that just put more and more squeeze on North Dakota producers. And they're actively engaged in it. I think everybody's more forward thinking. I think the EV fight has been part of that. You know, the traditional fights between blended barrels and traditional barrels and ethanol and E15, I think everybody recognizes we produce a lot of things in North Dakota that the city folk in D.C. don't necessarily understand how important, and our common enemies are significantly more threatening to our way of life than our internal disputes.
The supply chain issues have been certainly a struggle. One area that really hits home is that trucker shortage. It's just really part of that bigger workforce issue that a lot of our businesses are dealing with.
Yeah, so, I mean, the average age of a CDL driver has been going up for 35 years. It obviously got exemplified during COVID and trying to move things. And it also is, I mean, that's why pipelines are important. That's why rail's important. That's why all of these different issues are important, is because you're going to have a finite pool. Really frustrating with the DOT when I just think it's a perfect example of a bureaucrat trying to figure out their existence. You know, the new theoretic testing for a commercial truck driver. By any metric, truck driving is safer now than it's been for 25 years. But somebody in a cubicle had to justify their existence, and that made it harder for people to get a CDL, which makes it harder for ag producers to find people with CDLs. And that's before you talk about EVs. You cannot get to Minneapolis from Grassfordon with a potato shipment in an electric vehicle. So now all of a sudden, a trip that you could make in one day with hours of service is 2 days. 100% of that cost increase is not going to my egg producer, but it's still going to make your French fries more expensive. We have to be smart about how we do this, and unfortunately, common sense sometimes is not something that's in strong supply out here.
Well, we appreciate the chance to connect. I want to be conscious of our time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.